you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Incentive alignment bonds. War bonds, but backwards. Your grandparents funded World War II at roughly 3% returns. You fund disease eradication at 272%. Same structure, fewer Nazis, better spreadsheet. Remember when your grandparents funded World War II by buying war bonds? They got roughly 3% returns and a world without Nazis, mostly. Good deal. You're doing the same thing, except instead of buying bonds to kill Nazis, you're buying bonds to kill diseases. War bonds, but backwards. The core problem: good ideas die in committee. Here's your species' fun puzzle. You know how to save millions of lives. You can measure exactly how many. You have the money. You don't do it. Not because your politicians are evil, because your system is built so that politicians maximize re-election, status, and post office careers, not humans continuing to exist. Bureaucracies maximize budget and turf, not speed of treatments. Lobbyists maximize client profits, not global welfare. You don't fix this with awareness campaigns. You've been raising awareness for decades, and everyone is still dying. But they're dying aware, so that's nice. You don't fix it with white papers. Politicians use white papers to stabilize wobbly tables. You fix it by changing what self-interest points at. On Wishonia, we used something very similar to bootstrap the whole transition 4,297 years ago. We don't need them anymore. People do useful things because they're useful, which I realize sounds made up, but you also thought washing your hands sounded made up until 1847. The point is, you need them now. This chapter describes how to legally bribe your politicians into doing the right thing. If at any point the numbers sound impossible, try the 5 questions. Find the one that's wrong. We'll wait. Incentive alignment bonds. IABs, a financial instrument for paying for better governance without technically paying politicians, giving money to governments, or going to prison. Your 1% treaty isn't constrained by physics, biology, or money. It's constrained by politics, which is like being constrained by your dog's opinion on quantum mechanics, except your dog can veto legislation. No politician wants to be the one who cut the military, even by 1%, even if that 1% cures cancer. The attack ads write themselves. Senator Johnson voted to weaken America. Your system does exactly what it's incentivized to do. It's not broken. It's working perfectly at the wrong thing. The fix? Tell every politician on Earth, vote for a 1% style reform and you get better re-election odds and a Goldman Sachs board seat when you retire. No backroom deals, no suitcases of cash, just a standing public rule. Do the objectively good thing and the world systematically rewards you. Nobody has to become a better person. The money just circulates until diseases stop existing. How IABs work. 4 steps. Not charity, doesn't scale. Not lobbying, slot taken. Not paying politicians, illegal, slot also taken. You work with the primates you have, not the primates you wish you had. The recipe has 2 steps. Step 1, make the right thing profitable. Step 2, wait. There is no step 3. On Wishania, we spent 4,000 years trying to add a step 3. Moral education, cultural reform, public shaming, interpretive dance. None of them worked. Step 2 always did the job by itself. Step 1, pick a measurable outcome. Measure funding flows, not health outcomes. You can't attribute a treatment breakthrough to any single country's funding, but you can measure percent of military spending redirected, total dollars contributed, and politician votes on treaty passage. Health improvements justify the policy. Funding flows are the scoreboard, because that's what politicians actually control. Step 2. Raise capital. Investors buy incentive alignment bonds, or IABs. Capital sits in a trust. It pays out if and only if public good targets are hit. Same structure as green bonds and catastrophe bonds. Step 3. Reward your politicians indirectly. When a politician votes for a 1% style policy and funding actually flows, public good scores rise. Published by independent rating orgs, electoral support increases, independent campaigns favor high scores, post office opportunities unlock, fellowships, boards, speaking circuits. No money flows to politicians. See why this isn't bribery. What flows is reputation, electoral advantage, and career advancement. Step 4. Watch self-interest do the rest. Your politician's utility function is roughly U equals probability of re-election plus career advancement plus post-office income plus legacy. IABs make supporting 1% equivalent policies strictly increase all 4 terms. No altruism required. Maximize personal payoff and reduce suffering become the same action. You've tricked your leaders into saving lives by making it the selfish thing to do. The 3-layer architecture. How to not go to prison. You cannot legally say, support bill XYZ123 and get paid. That's bribery. But you can create a system where politicians who support a class of pro-social policies systematically get more of everything they want. The trick? Rule-based universal announced in advance. Layer A, scoring. Data only. An independent org assigns each politician a public good score based on votes, sponsorship, and funding flows. Public, rules-based, nonpartisan. In the 1% treaty materials, this domain-specific implementation is called the treaty support score. See the Senator Smith example for how scores translate to concrete payoffs. Layer B, electoral benefits. Separate actors. Independent PACs and 501c4s commit in advance to favor high-scoring politicians. The goal? Make the public good score as influential as Moody's credit ratings or NRA grades. Moody's can downgrade a country and suddenly borrowing costs spike. NRA grades already determine which politicians get funded. Same gun, different target. Layer C, post office careers, the Goldman Sachs board problem. Foundations and think tanks set eligibility rules. Public good score above X gets you WHO boards and Aspen fellowships. Below X, you're explaining at dinner why you voted against curing diseases. The revolving door, but spinning towards saved lives instead of toward whoever paid the most lobbyists. Legal entity separation. For the scoring layer, a 501c3 research organization handles metrics, dashboards, and public data, but cannot support or oppose candidates. For the electoral layer, 501c4s, PACs, and super PACs handle independent expenditures for high scores, but cannot coordinate with candidates. For the post office layer, foundations and think tanks set eligibility criteria, but cannot condition grants on specific votes. Three separate entities that definitely don't coordinate, but somehow all reward the same behavior. Your species invented the structure. It's genuinely one of your better ideas, which is a low bar, but still. Why this isn't bribery? Four reasons your lawyers will stop hyperventilating. No one is paid to break a duty. Do your job better and we'll tell everyone you did. That's a performance review, not a bribe. Rules are universal and ex ante. Same rules, all politicians, all parties, announced publicly in advance. No envelopes in parking garages. No money goes to politicians. They benefit indirectly. Better scores, electoral support, nicer career options. This is how democracy was supposed to work before your species broke it. Scores are based on public voting records. Did they vote yes? Verifiable and ungameable. The 10% fund flows automatically based on treasury inflows. Pure math. Bribery corrupts alignment. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, created. Wealthy actors already buy policy. Pharma spends $300 million a year on lobbying. Weapons manufacturers spend $127 million a year. The question isn't, should money influence policy, but can you point the money at welfare instead of warfare? Here's what makes this structurally different from current lobbying. In the current system, money and influence are inseparable. Give money, get influence over where the money goes, use that to get more money. The loop is opaque and self-reinforcing.
IABs break the loop. Investors give money and get money back, 10% revenue share. That's it. They don't decide which diseases get funded. Politicians get career incentives, 10%. They don't touch the research budget. The remaining 80% flows to clinical trials via wishocratic allocation, controlled by direct democracy, not by the people who paid for it. The corruption is capped at 20%, transparent, and completely separated from the public goods funding. Name a government budget that can say the same. Worked example: House Senator Smith votes yes. Abstract mechanisms are great for economists and incomprehensible to everyone who matters. Here's how IABs work on an actual human politician, a creature that navigates entirely by self-interest, like a moth, but with a pension. The scoring system. Each politician gets a public good score based on their voting record, like a credit score for your soul, except useful. For a bill to increase percentage reallocation to a 1% treaty fund, a yes vote is plus 15, and a no vote is minus 15. To protect existing funding, a yes vote is plus 10, and a no vote is minus 10. To expand the treaty to more countries, a yes vote is plus 10, and a no vote is minus 10. To cut funding or percentage, a yes vote is minus 20, and a no vote is plus 5. Your score determines what you get. A score of 75 or higher gets you plus $2 million in PAC spending, a Tier 1 post office career such as WHO boards or Aspen fellowships, and an annual income of $500,000 or more. A score of 60 to 74 gets you plus $500,000 in PAC spending, a Tier 2 post office career like Brookings, Rand, or university chairs, and an annual income of $200,000 to $400,000. A score of 50 to 59 gets you $0 in PAC spending, a Tier 3 standard revolving door post office career, and an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. A score below 40 results in $500,000 in PAC spending for your opponent, a Tier 3 post office career, and an annual income of $150,000 to $300,000. In short, high scorers get millions in PAC support and access to the best post office careers. Low scorers watch that same money go to their opponents. It's like a video game skill tree, except the XP comes from not killing people. The setup. Victory incentive alignment bonds have raised $1 billion from investors who want 272% returns.
That money has funded a referendum showing 70% of Americans support reallocating 1% of military spending to pragmatic clinical trials, a lobbying campaign that's converted several weapons manufacturers, they did the math on their own mortality and mortality lost, and the public good scoring system, described above, tracking every federal legislator. Senator Smith, R, Texas, is up for re-election in 2026. The 1% Treaty Implementation Act is coming to a vote. Her current stats? Public good score, 45, below Senate median of 52. Current probability of re-election, 55%. Expected post office tier, 3. Expected post office income, $200,000 per year.
If you vote yes, attack ads will claim Smith voted to weaken America. If you vote no, you are safe from military lobby attacks. If you vote yes, defense contractors fund your opponent. If you vote no, defense contractors fund you. If you vote yes, there is no immediate upside. If you vote no, the status quo is maintained. If you vote yes, benefits arrive in 10 years. If you vote no, costs arrive never. The expected utility of a no vote is 0.55 times the value of remaining in office, plus $200,000 a year for 20 years, plus a medium legacy. Result, vote no, obviously. The new calculus, with IABs. If Smith votes yes, vote record, plus 15 points for a major treaty vote, new score, 45 plus 15 equals 60, rising to 72 with the early supporter multiplier. The scoring system rewards politicians who vote yes before the outcome is certain. Probability of re-election, 55%, increases to 62% due to the score boost plus $500,000 in independent support. Post office tier, from tier 3 to tier 2, with a path to tier 1 if she becomes a champion. Expected post office income from $200,000 a year to $300,000 a year. If Smith votes no, vote record minus 15 points, new score 45 minus 15 equals 30, probability of re-election 55% drops to 48% due to the score penalty plus $2 million going to her opponent. Post office tier, stuck at tier 3. Attack ads funded, Smith voted against the cure your family needs. The math, at the moment of the vote, that's a plus 14 percentage point swing in re-election odds, 62% versus 48%, and plus $2 million in lifetime post office earnings. These numbers improve further after the treaty passes, as shown in the post-treaty breakdown. Result, vote yes. The math changed. What actually happens? Pre-vote. Smith's staff models the yes vote. Score jumps to 72. Re-election odds rise 7 points. Lobbying meeting. Military lobby threatens, but three major contractors already support the treaty. Their market is shrinking 1%, the health market is growing, and the bond returns make their pension funds very happy. Threat is empty. Campaign finance. Health advocacy super PACs have committed $50 million nationally. At score 72, she gets $500,000 in independent support. A no vote sends that $500,000 to her opponent. Constituent mail. 70% of Texans voted yes in the referendum. Voting against that means explaining why you think they're wrong about not wanting to die. The vote. Smith votes yes, so do 50 others. The bill passes the Senate. Post-treaty. After the treaty passes and public support solidifies, Smith's numbers improve beyond the initial vote day projections. Her score climbs from 72 to 78 as she co-sponsors expansion legislation and the early supporter multiplier compounds. That pushes her into Tier 1 territory. Her public good score increases from 45 to 78. Her probability of re-election increases from 55% to 68%. Independent support increases from $0 to $3 million. Her post office tier moves from tier 3 to tier 1. Post office income increases from $200,000 a year to $500,000 a year.
every metric jumps. Her score increases by over 70%, re-election odds climb 13 points, she gains $3 million in independent support, and her post office income more than doubles.
Smith wins re-election comfortably, joins the WHO advisory board, chairs the Aspen Health Initiative, all because she did math instead of listening to lobbyists. Politicians can count, they just need something worth counting. The revenue split. Incentive alignment bonds raise the capital and align the politicians. Treaty revenue splits three ways: 10% to investors, $2.72 billion, 10% to political incentives, $2.72 billion, and 80% to the part that actually funds treatments, $21.8 billion. Everyone profits from treaty expansion. If the treaty holds, this is the rare financial instrument where everyone profits might actually be true. Why 10% goes to political incentives? Your 1% treaty is the proof of concept. The end game is redirecting most of military spending to health. That doesn't happen automatically. Without sustained political pressure, your treaty stalls at 1% forever, like every other agreement your species has signed and then quietly forgotten about. The 10% allocation creates a political ratchet that only moves one direction. At a 1% treaty level, payouts and incentives are $2.72 billion per year. Research funding is $21.8 billion per year, and politicians are rewarded for passage. At a 5% treaty level, payouts and incentives are $13.6 billion per year, research funding is $108.8 billion per year, and defense industry pivots to health. At a 10% treaty level, payouts and incentives are $27.2 billion per year, research funding is $218 billion per year, and health lobbying starts to rival defense lobbying. At a 50% treaty level, payouts and incentives are $136 billion per year, research funding is $1.09 trillion per year, and a global transformation. At a 100% treaty level, payouts and incentives are $272 billion per year. Research funding is $2.18 trillion per year, and full redirection is achieved. The pattern is simple. Every expansion multiplies the political incentive budget, the research funding, and bondholder payouts. Support pragmatic clinical trials would become the single most profitable opinion a politician can hold. That's how you change what politicians believe. Make the belief profitable. The bondholder constituency. IABs create the defense lobby's mirror image, a permanent class of wealthy investors whose income scales directly with treaty expansion. At 1%, bondholders collect $2.72 billion per year. At full redirection, $272 billion per year. Perpetual bonds mean a perpetual financial incentive to lobby for expansion, every single year, forever. Except bondholders have better math and a more popular product, not dying polls well. Without IABs, from year 1 to 3, the treaty passes, followed by celebration and champagne. From year 4 to 7, the defense lobby regroups, there is no expansion, and the champagne goes flat. From year 16 plus, the treaty becomes another Paris Agreement, a nice symbol that everyone ignores, and the champagne was wasted. With IABs. From year 1 to 3, the treaty passes and politicians are rewarded. From year 4 to 7, politicians compete to expand the treaty to 2%. From year 8 to 15, a 5% treaty is reached and defense contractors pivot. From year 50 plus, full redirection is achieved and disease is solved. The 10% isn't a cost, it's the engine. Without it, you get a one-time win. With it, you get compounding political pressure that makes each expansion easier than the last. Beyond the 1% treaty, the same architecture works for any global coordination problem where the public good is measurable, politicians control the outcome, benefits are diffuse, and costs are concentrated. That describes most of the problems that could end your civilization, which is a worryingly long list.
In the domain of climate, using UNFCCC emissions data, the IAB makes vote for emissions cuts career optimal. In the domain of nuclear, using START treaty warhead counts, the IAB makes I reduced our arsenal career optimal. In the domain of pandemic, using WHO joint external evaluation, the IAB makes I-funded preparedness career optimal. Same pattern every time. Existing metric, scoring system, electoral support for high scorers, cushy jobs for leaders who governed well. See the academic paper if you enjoy equations. For investors. The sections above explain why IABs work. The sections below explain why you should buy them. If you prefer not dying and getting rich, keep reading. The investor pitch. A financial instrument that generates massive returns while accidentally curing diseases as a side effect. Like a hedge fund with a conscience, except the conscience is also profitable. What you're offering investors, 272% annually, funded by a share of treaty revenue. That number looks absurd. It should. It's the premium for betting on politicians doing something useful, which is historically a bad bet, but the payout, if it works, is real. The money doesn't stop if the treaty holds. No maturity date. Bondholders get paid as long as the treaty exists, which could be until the sun explodes or humanity achieves immortality, whichever comes first. Bet on the immortality thing. That's what the bonds are for. If the treaty holds is doing a lot of work in that sentence, so let's address it. The treaty creates a class of billionaire bondholders whose personal wealth depends on the treaty surviving and expanding. These are people with enormous unrelated influence over government. Media access, campaign donations, social networks, board seats at companies that employ voters. They didn't buy influence over the treaty fund. They bought a revenue share. But their pre-existing influence over everything else means any politician who tries to repeal the treaty is picking a fight with the richest, most politically connected humans on the planet, all of whom have a quarterly earnings call explaining why the treaty should be bigger, not smaller. The perpetuity math. Victory incentive alignment bonds never mature. They keep paying as long as the treaty exists. You calculate lifetime value using the perpetuity formula, which is finance speak for money printer that runs as long as the input does. Total value equals the annual payment divided by the discount rate, even if you're extremely pessimistic. For the mildly skeptical at a 3% discount, the total lifetime value is $90.7 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 90 times your money. For the pretty skeptical, at a 5% discount, the total lifetime value is $54.4 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 54 times your money. For the very skeptical, at a 10% discount, the total lifetime value is $27.2 billion, and your $1 billion becomes 27 times your money. Even at a 10% discount rate, as risky as funding a Mars casino, your $1 billion becomes worth $27.2 billion. As long as humans prefer being alive to being dead, the treaty exists. As long as the treaty exists, you get paid. And as long as you get paid, you have every reason to make sure the treaty keeps existing. It's a loyalty program for civilization, except the rewards are real and the members are billionaires with senators on speed dial. Security package and risk. 1. There is an over $27.2 billion annual treaty revenue stream. Starts year one if the treaty passes. 2. Political entrenchment. Treaties are historically hard to repeal once implemented, unlike New Year's resolutions. 3. Public support. Over 70% approval, which grows with each breakthrough. 4. Aligned incentives. Everyone profits from cooperation. 5. First lien position. Bondholders get paid before anyone else touches the money. 2 categories of risk, both involving trusting humans, which is historically unwise. Project risks. Political risk. The treaty may fail to pass because politicians prefer the status quo to political risk. Mitigation, broad bipartisan support, multi-country strategy, and no single points of failure. Execution risk. The campaign may fail to hit milestones. Mitigation, milestone-gated funding, lean operations, and competent humans. Finding those is itself a risk. Investor-specific risks. Liquidity risk. Funds are locked for 12 to 36 months during the campaign phase, roughly how long it takes to convince politicians that living voters are better than dead ones. Mitigation. Secondary market trading after lockup. Timeline risk. Politicians could take longer than projected. They are famously slow at everything except accepting donations. The perpetual nature of the bond rewards patience. How it compares, if it works. Victory incentive alignment bonds offer an annual return of 272%. The risk is high, binary, treaty passes or it doesn't, the term is forever, and the catch is that it requires politicians to act rationally. A savings account offers a 0.5% return with no risk and a whenever term, but it loses to inflation. The S&P 500 has a 10% return with moderate risk and a whenever term, though it is boring and responsible. Real estate provides an 8% return with moderate risk over a 30-year term, but requires being a landlord. Venture capital offers a 15 to 25% return with extreme risk over a 7 to 10-year term and requires picking winners. Hedge funds provide an 8 to 15% return with high risk and lockups, but require being rich already. The Medallion Fund has a 39% return with extreme risk, but is close to mortals. Investing like Warren Buffett yields a 20% return with moderate risk over 60 years, but requires being Warren Buffett. Fine print. The 272% is a revenue share return on campaign capital, not a market return on traded securities. It's a fundamentally different kind of bet. You're funding a campaign, and the return is a permanent share of treaty revenue if that campaign succeeds. The other investments in this table are liquid and diversified. This one is concentrated and binary. The return is enormous because the risk is enormous. If the treaty fails, you lose your money. If politicians prefer dead constituents to living ones, that's exactly what happens. But you'll be too dead from preventable diseases to notice. Investment pitch. If you believe the treaty can pass, the risk-adjusted return is compelling. If you don't, no return percentage will convince you. But before you decide which camp you're in, try answering 5 questions. Is it physically possible to improve how your species allocates $2.72 trillion per year? Does redirecting even 1% compound into everyone being 51 times richer? Do you have a better mechanism? If not, the only remaining question is whether you're the credible first mover who triggers the dominant assurance contract, or whether you wait for someone else to be, which is the coordination failure the entire instrument was designed to solve. Investment thresholds and term sheet. Lockup: 12 to 36 months until the treaty passes. Then perpetual distributions begin, like a dividend that outlives you. Minimum investment amounts by investor type. Your species requires gatekeeping even for saving itself. Institutional investors, $10 million or more per investor. Family offices, $5 million or more per office. High net worth individuals, $1 million or more per person. Qualified investors, $100,000 minimum. Have lawyers review, this is illustrative only.
The interest rate is 0%, all returns via revenue share model. The revenue share is 10% of all treaty inflows. The term is perpetual, no maturity date. The payment frequency consists of annual distributions. Default provisions include transparent reporting and third-party audits. Transferability means the bonds are tradable on the secondary market after 12 months. Governance involves transparent reporting and third-party audits, where bondholders receive money, not influence. This sounds like a Ponzi scheme run by someone who failed math. Ponzi schemes pay old investors with new investor money. That's why they collapse. This pays investors with a share of $27.2 billion in annual revenue. That revenue comes from redirecting 1% of military budgets via treaty.
The money comes from governments that currently spend it on bombs. The returns are high because the political risk is high. You're betting politicians will act rationally when shown the numbers. Historically, that's a coin flip at best. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's lobbying economics pointed at diseases instead of wars. Same weapon, different enemy. Won't politicians game the metrics? To game these metrics, you'd have to falsify your own vote, public record, or pretend money moved when it didn't, treasury records. Orders of magnitude harder than self-reported ESG compliance, which is the bar your species currently uses. What if politicians reverse the policy? Score decay, the same mechanism that rewarded you, punishes backsliding, making reversals career suicide, the only kind of death politicians fear. If this fails completely and I lose my $1 billion, if it fails completely, you lose your $1 billion. It gets spent on the campaign, convincing humans to click buttons, bribing lobbyists, building platforms, paying lawyers to make bribery legal. This is the primary risk. You're funding a political campaign with a massive payout if it wins. If it fails completely, you'll probably die of a preventable disease anyway. You won't be around to complain about the lost money. It's venture capital, but for not dying. Is this realistic globally? Doesn't have to start global. One or two pilot countries, Portugal, Costa Rica, New Zealand, adopt a limited 1% style policy. Funding flows get verified, leaders get invited to better conferences, other countries notice, and FOMO takes over. FOMO is the most powerful force in international relations, more powerful than diplomacy, trade agreements, or nuclear weapons. Credit ratings started as one guy in the 1800s publishing opinions about railroad bonds. Now, Moody's can tank a country's economy with a press release. Same scaling path. Proof of concept, early movers, FOMO among laggards, and new normal. Your species is remarkably good at copying things that work once someone else does it first. How is this different from just donating to charity?
Charity is for people who want to feel good. This is for people who want to get obscenely rich while curing diseases as a side effect. It's the Louisiana Purchase of pragmatic clinical trials. Except instead of buying land from France, you're buying life extension from death. And unlike Louisiana, it doesn't flood, and unlike France, it doesn't surrender. Summary. For investors, 272% annually for as long as the treaty holds, with first lien priority. Perpetual payments that grow as the treaty expands from 1% to 5% plus. Side effect? Millions of humans continue existing. IABs don't change human nature. Nothing changes human nature. You've tried religion, philosophy, education, and strongly worded letters. None of it worked. IABs just redirect the nature you've got. Legal, three-layer architecture, no money to officials. Scalable, one country, then FOMO. Self-reinforcing, each expansion funds the next expansion. You're not asking your politicians to be saints. Saints don't run for office. You're making save millions of lives and advance my career the same sentence. The rest is gravity.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please press the share button on your glowing rectangle in case one of your friends have a free afternoon to end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and make your wishocratic allocation, telling us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.